in my literal ear.
Hi, besties, and welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens.
A show where Juice makes ASMR sounds in her podcast mic and makes me want to throw up. I'm Cynthia Kiss.
I'm Juice Box. And welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens. I'm sorry, I'm really tired, guys. I'm just rolling through the motions. We are back for our interview series again. We are still going. I'm having so much fun with it. But before we go on with that, Cynthia, how are you?
I'm so good. I'm living life. I'm packing up for a fun secret little project that I can't say much about right now, but it'll eventually come out. I'm being Juice right now. Exciting things to come. Wish I could say more.
I love saying that. I have really cool things coming up. I can't really talk about right now.
Can't really talk about. But yeah, that's coming up, which is great. And then, yeah, just like living life like a girly pop and enjoying your ASMR sounds as we're about to hit record.
It's you're like a cat. I could see your just skin crawl off your face. Like you were so mad. I have a fun girly pop question.
Yeah, tell me.
Or not question, girly pop. So I have this friend. I won't say her name. She doesn't like when I say her name. Mm. But I have this friend, and she's a professor at a college. And she had one of her students go up to her and be like, "Miss," she went, "are you girly pop?" And my friend, I always give her like the like things, like the lingo and stuff that's kind of trending in right now, just so she doesn't get blindsided by something. But that's one I've never said to her before. So she's like holding her thing. She's very professional. And they went, "Are you girly pop?" And she went, "Yes." And handed back like the test and kept going. And then she called me. She went, "What does girly pop mean? What does girly pop mean?"
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am girly pop.
Your parents need to sign this test. You're failing.
I taught her how to say it, like to be like purr. I taught her that, like the candy muse purr.
Yes.
And somebody handed her a test, like she handed like a test back or something, and the student was just like, "Oh my god, I did so good, period, miss." And I guess she looked at her and went, "Purr."
That is keeping up with the kids. That is how you do it. That is how you do it.
I turned my cringy millennial friend into a even cringier millennial, but very cute.
You know who always writes purr?
Hmm.
Eve 6000.
Does like she?
Anyone in my life, when I'm messaging her and it's that like you've like chatted, and there's like nothing else to say, she'll just be like, purr.
Purr. I started saying it because I thought it was so funny when Candy would say it.
Yeah.
That I started saying it because it's just my little like teehee, Candy Muse is funny.
Teehee.
Teehee. Teehee.
This might be a little out of date by the time our episode airs, but did you see all the drag queens on the red carpet of the MTV?
Oh my god, yes. Awards? Jimbo looked insane. Candy looked beautiful as usual. She left early to poop.
Yes. That's the thing about award shows. Sometimes you gotta poop.
That was a headline.
Yep.
I just love that it was a full headline. Candy Muse leaves VMAs early because she had to poop. Slow news day.
I guess like could you not? You wouldn't want to. I guess you wouldn't want to go to the bathroom there.
Oh, I would shit at the VMAs.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, find a far away bathroom and then just like do your thing and come back. Candy, we love you.
No way. Not a far away bathroom. I would shit in the most, like the closest bathroom off the red carpet that I could. And then like, I want to have an awkward moment with fucking like, I don't know, SZA. Like I walk out and she's like, "Did you just dookie in there?" And I'd be like, "Fuck yeah, I did. Look how good I look." Like I would shit everywhere.
Juice is just welcome in to her stall. Queens. Juice is just in her stall. Fucking
douche, douche, douche. Especially on the VMA red carpet, the nervous poop. Oh, I'd be running to that bathroom.
Yeah. You may not make it. Maybe you know that's what? Why
I would
she left.
Shit
maybe
on that carpet.
Maybe that's what actually happened. Candy shit herself and had to leave.
And I just want for just so everybody knows, I didn't say that. Cynthia said that.
Get mad at me on Twitter.
Get mad at Cynthia. Cynthia said that, not me. I'm not even going to repeat it because
that's
Cynthia
a reason.
Said it.
That's a reason to leave. If you were to poop yourself.
Yeah. Have you ever pooped yourself?
Yeah. But
you pooped yourself?
Like a little, un petit peu. And then I was like, ooh,
I've sharted many times. I'm an IBS girly. I have shit myself many times.
To get new underwear. It happened, I was out and about in Toronto, and I was like, is this a little gas?
Outside?
Yes. I was like, is this a little gas? And I was like, whoa!
Oh, mine's never been in public. It wasn't. Mine's always been at home.
No, it wasn't. God. And I had to very, very, very quickly go to an H&M and swap my underwear in the Eaton Center Mall. And I threw it out.
Honestly, I respect you.
Well, what else are you going to do? I was like, I gotta at least like swap these, get rid of these, and then get to a shower. But it was like, yeah.
I respect you for that.
Right. What else are you going to do? You know? Thank you.
No, I love that. I love that. Listeners, this is a SQQ exclusive. Cynthia Kiss has shit her pants in an H&M.
To be specific, it was outside of the H&M, and then I ran in with my shoes.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Gotta get that right.
Let's stop talking about poop. Let's get to the interview. So this week, we have the pleasure of having Miss Queen Kong. We have three time zones once again. We have Vancouver, Toronto, and Australia. She is currently in Australia right now. She is from New Zealand, but she's currently in Australia. And we had the pleasure of having her on the show. She was an amazing, super fun interview. So beautiful for our Patreon listeners. If anybody wants to see how absolutely stunning Queen Kong looks, please join our Patreon and you can see her in all her glory.
Oh my God. Side note, we have to talk about this. Because time when I had Baby from the UK on the podcast, I did not specify that it's not a requirement to be in drag for our podcast show. It's typically an audio medium only, and Baby showed up in full face and I felt like such a shithead because it's like, that's like 2 to 3 hours of someone's life that you waste. It's a huge waste of time. So today we will quickly see, Patreon supporters, you will see that Queen is in full drag, but this is because she had things afterwards, more media and interviews and things afterwards. Yes. But for the first 10 seconds, I am literally peeing myself like it's H&M in 2014 because
Cynthia turns bright red, just so nervous.
I literally was so nervous that it was a miscommunication and I made another drag queen get into drag for no reason. But thank God. It wasn't me this time. So we are so excited. She looks incredible. So it's a blessing. It's a bonus. It's a bonus drag face. So enjoy. This is a fabulous interview. And we hope you like it.
Yeah. I'll call her Whip because I don't have long distance charges. So.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
Whip sound effect. Whoop.
We have our sister from season 2 of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under. Give it up for some royalty in the building, people, because it is Queen Kong.
Oh, hi everyone. I'm shy. Queen Kong, or as my Uber driver called me this morning, Kevin.
I'm so shy.
Oh my goodness.
How are you? How are you doing?
So good. Okay, where are you right now in the world? Are you in New Zealand as we speak?
No, I'm in Australia. So I'm in Brisbane at the moment. And so I'm going to be doing a thing after this, which is why I'm in the slap this morning.
Love.
Oh, our Patreon supporters, it's their lucky day to get to see how beautiful Queen looks in full high whore drag. It is incredible. Oh.
Yeah, I look better when the screen's pixelated, so I made sure the resolution was really low.
Nice. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yes, blurred. Yes, yes. What pores? We just need eyes and teeth.
No details. Yeah, absolutely. Easy to draw. That's what I think.
So I want to dive right in. Tell me a little bit about Baby Queen Kong. Where did your love of drag start? How did it all begin for you?
Ah, baby, I was always a queen, you know. I think we all had that flair. And I think the community that I come from in Australia, especially my cultural community, you know, it's the same thing, you know, patriarchy, you know, ruins everything. But especially in our cultures, like religion really made it difficult to be gay and feminine, you know what I mean? Like being a brown man that's built the way that I am, I'm built like a brick shit house. And so, you know, there was just like a whole sort of life that was carved up for me and imagined for me without even my consent. So inside, I was always a queen, and I came up through sports, which is why I'm built really muscular.
I never noticed.
Right?
So subtle.
Juice box, stop it. But yeah, like drag's always been like a part of me. And I think I've always been a performer. I've been a dancer, professional dancer most of my career. And even as a dancer, I didn't really feel completely fulfilled. So I started drag about 8 years ago, and I did a really shitty Halloween variety show. And I felt like I looked like Beyonce, but I looked like Jay-Z. I just caught the itch, and I think it went from a side hustle and became the main hustle, because even as a dancer and as an artist, I never really completely felt fulfilled. So put on a wig, a breastplate, and was living my life and haven't looked back since. Yeah.
I love that.
You can totally see the dance training. It's incredible. I have to talk about that iconic move where you rolled in midair. Is there a name for that move?
They used to call it a barrel, but obviously, like, it's a completely different way that I do it, because I just don't land. I land on my face. But
I couldn't tell. Did they edit around that? I felt like you landed gracefully.
Oh, no, totally. Like the way it's done, it's land, like, I land intentionally, so I get like a 360 flip.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And it's just because, like, obviously we all dip, we all like split. I was just bored of seeing that. And even though the Drag Race down under stage is like a matchbox, it's tiny, and I'm a big bitch, I was like, there is no way I'm going on Drag Race and not doing my signature move, motherfucker.
I was going to say, because that's something I saw before you were even on the show, because I've been aware of Miss Queen Kong for a while. Your name definitely precedes you from before Drag Race. So that's I remember seeing that move of yours from before. So is this something you've done like forever? That's like your signature kind of go-to, like, jump in the air roll?
Yeah, well, like, because I, as a dancer, like, I was always part of like modern contemporary dance companies, and like our job was to like create different sort of ways of moving, and I just created a bunch of different tricks. And so I knew that if I was going to get on Drag Race, or when I got into drag, I was like, yeah, but these bitches can't do this. Hiya! I just wanted to sort of bring some of my dance training in, and also some things that are a bit more unconventional, because I think my style is really, I like savage beauty because I am a Pacific Islander, and I think, you know, I kind of infuse that into some of the movement that I do, and I like to throw myself around like an absolute dickhead. So I think it's divided. Some people like, they live, some people like, that is the messiest thing, but I'm like, just learn how to walk
it.
You come from me.
What's the trick? Are you running sideways, or like, do you twist your body? Do you kick up your legs? Like, how do you spin like
all
that?
Of it?
Oh, totally, absolutely. It's like a combination of like a really high kick, like a donkey kick. I'm really good at that, just because I had lots of bigots in my hometown.
Hell yeah.
Jump really high, and then you just like hope that you don't crack your head. So
good. Have you ever cracked your head?
Never.
No. Oh, she's a professional.
Touching the wood. Professional woman. Just kidding. No, it's actually really safe. I think there's definite like a training regimen that you sort of get used to. Like, I'm trained in ballet, but I'm also trained in gymnastics and like break dancing, which is just like a combination of all those things kind of, you know, makes for really weird looking tricks. So
I can see the break dancing as well. There's something about the way you can carry your like own centrifugal force. I actually had written down originally, I was like, do you do gymnastics / breakdancing? Because this is incredible.
Yeah, totally. Definitely come from the world of gymnastics. Tumbling was my thing. So yeah, I know. Rue was gagged. The first time I did it, she was just like, And for the rest of the season, like, that was the most animated she was on our entire season, because people were like, was she even there? I was like, physically, Mama Ru was there. Mentally, emotionally, she was somewhere else.
Oh, actually, so funny. Something we've been asking all the Aussie girls is, have you seen the sweatpants?
I actually haven't, but I did see that she was holding a gown and there was no shoes one time. So
Insider TV, love it.
I love that. We never got to see the sweatpants because we had the beautiful Auntie Brooklyn Heights. So we
How was it working like doing Drag Race and sort of being judged by Brooklyn? Because obviously, like, from the outside, I love Brooklyn, and like, we have like a little connection that I love. Mm-hmm. But because she's a dancer, not romantically, not yet. But I think
maybe soon.
Is it hard to, like, maybe soon? Hello. What's it like being judged by her? Like, especially like as an alum, or She is bitchy as she comes off on screen.
Yeah, she is. I mean, that's just Brooklyn. But I mean, for me, Brooklyn was someone who I like came up with, but Brooklyn was always like an unattainable level. So being judged by Brooklyn on a television show versus eating at 2 a.m. while she would steal my cheese fries was kind of the same thing, because she was always just like this otherworldly drag being that, and she was always very judgy regardless. So it right. didn't feel different, but it was actually kind of comforting, because like something I've said in the past is like it wasn't shown, but she was actually helping me through my panic attack, like calming, like using like breathing exercises and stuff, but they never picked it up on camera and they never showed it.
She brought her cheese fries.
She brought her cheese fries.
Get up, bitch. Get up. You need to buy
She went, food. I think I stole these from you at 2 a.m. at some point.
Yeah, were these yours? Yeah.
I love it. She's waving in front of you under your nose to like get you out of
here. Exactly. Wake up.
Jesus, like, everything's fine. Everything's great.
She's cool though. But you've chatted with Brooklyn because of you guys have that connection with dance and stuff?
Yeah, we go, well, because like I was based in Canada for a long time, actually. Like I used to work at the BAMP Center in I used to work at the BAMP Center in Alberta. And
oh my God, incredible.
Every summer over like 7 years at the BAMP Center, is like we had the Indigenous Arts there, and I was like one of the head faculty members of the Indigenous Dance Residency there. And so I'd be there every year. And so her friends, it was like before she won Continental, like I remember seeing the iconic like show where she did like where she did Swan Lake and did the Black Swan.
That one was excellent.
That's what I fell in love with. I had a crush from then. And the dancer that was like partnering her is one of my best friends. And so for years we had this kind of connection, and I always just watched her. And when I moved to Toronto, I was working for Toronto Dance Theatre, and which is TDT. And then there's also Red Sky Performance, which is an Indigenous dance company there too. I'll be
when
there.
When did you live in Toronto?
This is like before I did drag. And so I used to go out to like, you know, Cruise and Tango and just watch Tainomi and like live my life.
What year was this?
When was this?
Just like 2013 onwards, like before, I think it was like 2011 through to about 2017. Like there was like, I was in and out of Canada quite a bit. Yeah.
We were in Canada. We were in Toronto at the exact same time and never.
I remember seeing, there was one show that I saw, I think it was when Priyanka started. I remember seeing her at a brunch show and just like living my life with this bitch. I remember taking a picture of her costume and going, when I do drag, I want to wear that.
Yeah. Oh, that's so
insane. Yeah.
Oh my God, Queen. Oh my God. We had
I wish
no
we
would have
connected when you were there. That would have been great.
Oh, look, I was too busy. Well, I was definitely just like not a part of the community, but always like around the circumference watching. Like I lived, like Tainomi was like, and still is. Like I worked with her recently with Nelly Potato, and Tainomi's like, I feel like we're twins. We're like the same person in so many ways. And we're connecting.
You two
with
give
her,
me like, the same energy. Like it's always like, I remember when I was seeing you and seeing like a lot of your content and stuff, you and it always gave me very Tainomi energy. And like, I'm a Tainomi stan, like I'm obsessed. So I was always like, this is like, I love this energy.
Right.
But I love this like Brooklyn crush you have. Like I think you two would be a very cute couple. I'm just saying.
I ship I absolutely ship that.
Oh, you reckon? Oh my God.
Oh yeah. I love that.
Manifest.
And now she's so skinny.
She's tiny. Listen, I was just like, I would tear that ass. Like, <don't> do <it. laughs> I don't know what I would tear that ass up. Girl, like,
clip it and send it to Brooklyn.
Yes.
I'll text her right now. I'll be like, Auntie.
Yeah. We will let them know.
Oh, I love that. Oh my God, amazing. Okay, jumping back onto things. So you've been mentioning your culture a lot and your heritage. So that, I know, does it put a really big influence onto your drag? And if it does, like, what are those things that you kind of like to bring out?
Oh, I love that question. Here in Australia, like, I don't know if you know this, but Australians are very racist.
I've heard that. Yeah.
There's like a real complicated history around race in this country. And as one of the few queens of color, like literally on one hand, I can count how many queens of color sort of are in the forefront of sort of mainstream drag in spaces. You know, it's always been really tricky to navigate, you know, what we are, our difference, and also be able to, like, you know, be seen not only by the majority, but, you know, create like a pathway for people coming up under us. Because there are such big communities, POC communities out here, everywhere, but especially here in Australia, that don't necessarily get the limelight. And there's always been like one place for one queen at a time. And so I never really went up the traditional route of like working in clubs because I was never welcome. So I just trailblazed my own pathways. So, yeah, literally. There's lots of girls that are at the forefront of the Australian, or were at the forefront of the Australian drag scene. Yeah. That sort of gatekeeped and sort of keep people like myself out of the clubs just because they were threatened. And I just feel like, and I'm just calling it out because I'm like, you know, I've now got the platform to sort of do what I need to do, but I also would never stop someone's bag or stop someone from doing what they deserve to do, which is shine. So I think I know, it's so fucked up. And like, it used to make me so mad. And like, it's actually really demobilizing, like, because it's like, you know, as a queer community already, we're like on the out. And then it's all like the brackets within the community, the minorities within the minorities. And, you know, this hierarchy that we work under, that we're always on the bottom of the pyramid and not even really thought about. So as much as visibility and representation has been changing and we're taking steps in great ways, there's still very much a presence within the community, not talking about outside our community, of people that just don't necessarily believe that we should be at the table. Yeah. And I mean that in the most offensive way possible.
That is wild.
Good. Well, I'm glad. Mean it in an offensive way. Drag them.
I think it's really important. Like, I think with my culture, like, I think I talk about it because I feel like I need to talk about it, but I think that inherently everything that I do as an artist has always been like based on my point of difference, which is has a lot to do with my culture. I'm a Pacific Islander, you know, and I think when I was watching Sasha Colby, who I also know intimately, like watching her, the way she navigated Drag Race, like we're cut from the same cloth, like our values are the same. We have the understanding of like a family network. Like she has so many kids, like, you know, in a house, like I've got like 38 kids, like in the House of Kong. And they're like, as much as
pussy is gigantic.
Like babies, like I've got like a bunch of kids that I mentor, but it's like we understand what the safe space is and what it means to sort of not be included. And so I've always been such a champion for creating spaces and trying to make sure no one gets left behind within my community first and then the wider community. So it's really important to talk about culture, where we come from, so that people hear the stories and then they know how to incorporate us into the scene rather than continue to do the thing of going, oh my God, we're doing the Spice Girls. We need a Scary Spice. Queen, are you available? Like, fuck you. Like, exactly. Imagine if you washed, I wouldn't be Scary Spice. I'm prettier than you, you dog. But yeah.
I'm wearing the black Gucci dress.
Right? Like, I can wear
Oh my God.
Like, but yeah, it's really important. I think the reason why I speak about my culture so much and sort of visibility being sort of, you know, BIPOC and the importance of like, you know, activism is because first and foremost, our community here in Australia and in New Zealand need to really change some things. And I think we are. Mm-hmm. And I think it has a lot to do with me, to be completely honest. I'll own that.
Yeah. Own it, babe. Own it.
Yeah, that's so impressive. So would you say, how would like the Australian and New Zealand drag communities compare?
Oh, okay. Love this question. So Australian drag, I think the reason why we've got two New Zealand winners, right, is because the scenes, like the US and like the Canada, the scenes and like the drag scenes are built off the back of BIPOC people, BIPOC trans women, BIPOC drag queens, which means that our value set of like family, you know, acceptance, love, respect, like they're built into the fabric of our communities. So there's an understanding where you don't have to sort of talk about, you know, how to treat each other or why a house is important. In Australia, the drag community is built off the back of white queens, to be honest. You know, they had the Lay Girls, who are the ones that created, you know, which is amazing for trans, drag, the community, but it inherently comes from a Western perspective. And so the reason why we have so many instances of people doing blackface and all of that kind of shit in this country is because we were never at the table to go, this is not okay. You cannot mock these communities. It's because we never had a seat at the table. And people can argue it and be like, no, you're wrong, queen. But bitch, I'm right. Like, I know I'm
right. You're right.
How can you like not, how would you think that that is like an appropriate thing to do? Like, intention is everything. And like some of these instances, like in season one, they literally dress as us and poke fun, you know. I don't even want to say that bitch's name because no one talks about her anymore. But Yeah, listen, it's there's a reason why that we've gotten so far within Australian drag and had so many discrepancies and microaggressions and macroaggressions, you know, towards the BIPOC community, because we were never a part of the conversation. So that's the difference in my perspective. And then obviously people go, there's more polish in Australia, which is true, but I think there's a heart that's in New Zealand that is a lot more impressive. Like, you can buy good makeup, buy good costumes, but you can't learn how to be a good person. That's something that's instilled, ingrained into you by the people around you. It's not an individual experience, it's a collective experience, if that makes sense.
No, that totally makes sense.
And they're lucky to have someone like you be so well spoken and polished, might I add.
I was gonna say, like you said, a little unpolished as you're sitting here glowing.
Literally snatched. I was like, nonsense. So stunning. You look so good. No, they're lucky
just
to
like,
have
where,
you.
Where, babe?
Lucky to have you. Mm-hmm. So you were one of the top three of your season. Going into the finale, because obviously they record multiple finishings to this competition, what was your headspace like when you watched that final episode?
Like when I watched the final episode was completely when it was different.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, tell me about your headspace when you were watching it.
Oh, yeah. Watching the finale was, it was crazy because I was waiting for that episode because I feel like in the finale, living it, being there, I literally left that competition going, it's mine. Like, I literally left that day. Hannah Conda, Spanky looked at me and they were like, it's yours, bitch. You won today. Like, you won. Like, you arrived. Like, RuPaul stood up and said, all hail Queen Kong, and gave me my flowers completely at the end of my, like, at the end. Like, she literally, because she had seen me, like, struggle with myself, and I was my own enemy because I was just, you know, navigating the way that I do. I'd like to take my time. I don't like to rush things, and I'm not a fake bitch. So, by the time I got there, that challenge was designed for me. The verse challenge, you know, I definitely ate it. Choreography was way better than the other two of my sisters. Like, love them. and then the finale eleganza and the questions, I was like, this was literally like my shtick. Like, I'm a speaker. Like, I know how to speak and articulate. So when I was watching it back and they cut out every single thing that I was like waiting for, not only, I didn't give a fuck about winning the crown because I was like, look, I was so happy to make it to the final. I love these two girls. They're my best friends. But like, I wanted to feel what I felt on the day was when I left that lot and we wrapped, I felt so proud of myself and so happy about the journey that I went through and how I finished at the end. Whereas I felt like when I watched it back, I didn't get that because they cut all the chunks of meat out of my answers, which made RuPaul stand up and go, all hail Queen Kong. You know, they cut out all of the things that made me go, I'm so proud of myself and the way that I went about this competition. I literally left feeling really robbed of that moment, not for the crown. Spanky Jackson, that's my sister, and like, I'm so proud of her, but I was just more annoyed that I, you know, watching it back, I was just like, that is not how I'm feeling, not how I felt when I left the competition. You're leaving me in the space of the struggle bus, and like, that is really not fair because I'm the bus.
The bus. Well, they didn't wrap you up like a nice little bow at the end. They didn't give you that like moment that you actually did have. Oh, that's what makes me so mad about editing, man.
Oh, totally. And I get it. That's
because the bow was too nice. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah. No, you're so fine. But I get it because it's like, in some ways, they couldn't air those things because then they would have to give me the crown. But it was just more for me, like, watching it back, I really did feel robbed of, like, the feeling of going, oh, I arrived. I finally, like, I made it, you know, because I had the hardest, I think out of all the other girls, I had the hardest time on my season just grappling with the fact that so many people had expectations of me. Because as you said, like, my reputation like precedes me, but most people just have seen me on stage or seen videos of me performing, and they just assume that I'm this big, fierce, like, monster sort of personality outside of the stage, which is so not the case. Like, you know, I struggled.
You were like a soft, shy little baby.
Yeah. Oh my God. And I struggle with mental health like everyone does. Anxiety, you know, I go up and down, and I am not shy about sort of talking about those things because I think it's important for people that are watching to understand that, you know, you might not, you'll never be like physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally in complete alignment to go for your dreams. Sometimes you just have to get up and go, I deserve to go for this. I don't believe it right now, but I just need to go, and I need to figure out what I have around me to make this happen. And that was literally my journey of just going, this is reality. Like, we had 8 weeks, and that 8 weeks is 2 weeks, like, to show you like the best versions of our drag. And like, the reality is I walked in here going, I want to throw myself out that fucking window.
Just barrel roll out at it. Just
see you later.
See ya. Zoom.
Leaves yeah, every nice room dog. Doing that move.
But honestly, a lot of that, I feel like that's great though for a show, is that we get to see that vulnerability, and we get to see that growth, and we get to see that layer under the person that you think is like this perfect, you know, put together entertainer. I think it makes you more of a well-rounded person, you know, that people can kind of relate to a bit more.
Oh, I totally agree. Well, those are the ones that I've watched on every iteration of Drag Race and gone, oh my God, that's my, like, she might have not have won, but that's my winner, because I see her, I feel her, I am her in so many ways. So mm-hmm. I would have provided that for people that were watching my journey.
Yeah, you did. Absolutely. And the race always starts after anyway. And you've been thriving, babe.
Oh, thanks, boo. But that's the thing I think too about Drag Race, and I don't know how you two feel about it, but it's like, I feel like in my season, well, because it's still very new here in Australia, obviously in Canada mm-hmm. too, but like in Australia, it's like, I think most of the girls are relying on going on Drag Race to open up their world, to sort of take them to the next level. When the reality is, it's like, even though you're a Ru girl or a Drag Race girl, it's like, you have to work four times as hard, because it's yeah. like you have like a window of time to capitalize on the momentum, and then it's gone because the next lot of bitches are coming around the corner. You know what I mean? And so yeah. I think lots of the girls were kind of riding in the vehicle of Drag Race and then kind of missed the opportunity afterwards. Whereas I was so conscious of going in there and going, no, bitch, I'm driving this vehicle. Like,
yeah. You're the bus.
Yeah, I'm the bus. Like, toot, toot, where we going? Like,
toot, toot, babe.
But yeah, how did both of you find it coming out of the season? Because I was big fans of both of you. Like, oh my God, Cynthia, oh. you're freaking musical. Like, when you sat literally, like,
oh,
you were one of my favorites, like, in your season. I was just like, I want this bitch to win.
And not just because she's a beautiful twink.
Twink, gorgeous woman. I was just like, this motherfucker. And then you could sit, oh. My partner at the time was so obsessed with you in that challenge. Like, it literally, like, yeah, it changed the game for us, like, watching you do that. And,
thank you so much. No, it's cool. I think we see it the same way, where we knew it's perhaps a catalyst for more exposure, more eyes are on you. But then it's like, what do you do with those eyes? There's so many iterations of Drag Race now that I find it inspiring, and I think it's a cool community. It's almost like an economy, but you got to kind of like seize opportunities. Things like Juice and I creating the podcast, that's our way of staying connected with the audience, the fan base, and just kind of the overall discourse of like drag. And it's been tough at times, but I get inspired by the queens around me. I try not to let it give me imposter syndrome, because that can happen so quickly.
Remember with the imposter syndrome, I think, with me and Cynthia, is that if your sisters are thriving, like if the girls around you in your country are thriving, that means you're going to thrive as well. You know, because if you're supporting each other and you're each in your own niche and you're kind of pulling on each other for inspiration and pulling on each other for your art, then you're all bringing each other up.
Totally.
So I'm always rooting for the next season. I'm always just like, you know what? If season four comes on, I hope those girls get super fucking famous, because I'm going to ride that coattail right to the bank.
Absolutely. It's so true. And it also gives the girls, like the local girls, like within our communities, like somewhere to go. And that's the thing about like with us, because I feel like there's rumors that we might not get another season because season three was really bad. But I'm like, the thing that's bad about season three, it wasn't the girls. The girls tried their best. It's production. Production. And it's not like Drag Race World of Wonder. It's local production. They need to like get rid of the team and like start anew, because some of the choices that they made this season, like any opportunity that like any moment could go viral, they just like fucked it. Like all the lip sync songs, they chose mostly hetero songs, like, which is not no disrespect to like, you know, that kind of style of music, but it's like, we all know because of how saturated Drag Race is now, the things that could easily go viral and make eyes go onto a franchise, definitely the lip syncs is like probably the easiest way. Look at Anitra and freaking like all of those things of like seeing them perform, or snippets, like talent shows, like they're all designed to sort of make the queens shine and succeed. Whereas I feel like Down Under is really trying to reinvent the wheel. And I'm like, the formula's not broken, boo. Just stick to the formula. Like, just try to stick to the formula. It's not
if you are listening, showrunners of Down Under, Queen Kong is here to give you some ideas. She's maybe here to take over.
Immediately.
She's the boss.
This is your exit interview.
Totally. It is the Exeter. Oh, now, just to sprinkle a little, we're going to keep talking a Drag Race a little bit more, but this one's a little bit different about Drag Race. Now, have you ever heard this term? You may not have heard it before, but you might have once or twice. Have you ever heard the term trade of the season?
No,
you've never heard that. That's fascinating. That's fascinating because that was a thing that were floating around your big muscly shoulders for a very long time.
What was that like? It's like it's so tricky because whenever people ask me about it, they're like, "Oh, how did it be the trade of the season?" And I have to say, this is so like shady, and I mean it. Have you seen the rest of them? Fair. It was not hard to be the shade of that fucking season because the rest of them.
No, bitch, you're hot though. Like you were like miles above.
You're beyond trade of the season. You're more like trade of the franchise. So yeah, I would literally say out of like every season everywhere, like you in the confessionals. I was like, who is this cutie patootie dream?
Oh my god, it's like the eyes, the shoulders, the tits. Seriously. I was
so
like,
not even just your season. Not even just your season. Oh, I feel like I was really.
I love this place.
I literally was like,
"Yeah, you're like, could I stay here all day?"
I'm so glad. I'm so glad I jumped on this fucking podcast. Thank you so much. I feel so validated. I'm canceling my therapy for the next 2 years because I feel so.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Come back to Canada.
I know. I love it.
But that's the thing. Like, when I made them go, like, because they fuck me. Like, when we got, you know, when you get out of drag the first time and they're like zoning in on who's the trade of the season, I literally asked them to cut that section because they were like hovering that camera around me like crazy, waiting for me to get naked to like, take my clothes
off. Take that shirt off, bitch.
Literally, and they were doing it. And they definitely got it. But in my confessional, I went, look, I am fine to be objectified, but I really don't like it because it's like, at least give me some competition. Give me some competition. This is not the hype that you think you're giving me. I'm like, literally, everyone else looks like a thumb. So I'm not going to be here.
Anaconda just getting out of drag.
Everyone else.
Frankie Jackson getting out of drag. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm in a room full of like fucking feet. Like, I don't want to be called the trade of the season. It's really not.
Where's Cameron Michaels? Get Cameron Michaels in here. I want some competition.
Listen, Cameron, period. You know what I mean?
Yeah, period. Period. She's hot.
You too, Juice Box. You better stop it. Oh my God.
Thank you. Literally. I appreciate that. I'm working on it. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh my god, incredible, iconic! You got to take that to the bank. Do you have like Elle of a Day does a separate Instagram for like out of drag content? Do you have like a secondary account? Like, do you try to market it in a different way as quote unquote trade of the franchise? I'm trading it right now.
No, totally. Literally, I love you. I definitely have two separate Instagrams, for my own sanity. Like, and the other one, I used to have an alt Twitter as well. Not for that kind of stuff, maybe. Years ago.
Is it gone?
Maybe.
Damn it.
Darn.
Maybe.
I was about to be like, what is it?
What is
tell
it?
The viewers.
No, but I've got a separate Instagram just for my own sanity. And also because, I think I do try to keep like both sort of things separate, just because as an artist, Thomas out of drag is just, I don't know, like I still like work in the contemporary dance field and I still choreograph, and I feel like, you know, the branding is just different. And so as much as people will find it every now and then and like objectify it, it's like just also a place I can go and not have to look at noise from like the Drag Race fans, because some of them are just like, oh, love them, love the fandom, but some of them are just toxic, like, and I can't deal with it.
Yeah, sometimes it could be a bit much. You know, the fans, love the fans, but sometimes you're just like, I need a fucking break.
Oh my God. Like, I think in peak season, like there were times where like, I'd just be walking out with my family. This was the main thing. It's like walking out with family and people like snapping videos of you, like when you're eating or like when you're like walking, which is not like the worst thing. But like for me, like I'm such an introverted extrovert, like in outside of drag, I just prefer to be like left alone in the best sort of space. But I was really struggling with that. So I was happy that I had separate accounts just so I could talk to people in a separate way and not be like called queen. Like, because everyone calls me queen. Now. I'm like, I'm King Kong right now. Don't.
Don't stop it. Actually, so funny. Before speaking, jumping off of that, last week I was talking to Cynthia about, I was at a funeral and someone came up to me and they were like, really big fan at the funeral. I was like, now?
Really?
Right here.
Oh no. Firstly, sorry about the funeral. And secondly, guys have no boundaries. Especially
no boundaries.
No boundaries at all. No shame either.
God, no, not a bit of it. I'm surprised he wasn't like, do you want to meet in the third stall really quick? Like, I was just like, what the fuck, bitch?
Yeah. Right. I'm sure he did.
I love it.
Speaking of the fans, earlier this year, you were on tour with the Babs. Mm. This was in like February. When did it wrap? And how was it? Where did you go? And where would you want to go next?
Oh, yeah. So we basically did, like, we did most of Australia and we did a couple of places in New Zealand. We did, like, some stints over in the US with DragCon. And, like, we still continually tour together because I think aside from, like, obviously trying to make money, which is the great thing, we just love each other. The three, totally. those two girls are, like, my best friends. It's similar with the Brat Pack. Like, being able to tour together with your best friends and sort of, you know, go and, like, perform, like, because I think the thing about Drag Race is it can be really isolating, especially if you're getting lots of like attention and, you know, people like you're always around different communities and different people and they kind of look at you in a different way. Like they're like untouchable. Well, that's how I sort of feel anyway in some spaces, even though I'm humble and just want to be with the girls. It's just nice to be with Hannah and Spanky and tour and like be dickheads and, you know, have your best friends and be able to say things that you can't say to local queens because they'll fucking drag you on Twitter or Reddit. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
it's been really fun, and I think we're going to be going to the UK beginning of next year. Hannah did a little stint in August, and so we're booked to go just for DragCon and doing a couple of dates in January. So yeah, it'd be fun. I think we want to make some new music, but it's really hard to tie the three of us down because like we're always really busy, and you know that kind of side of things needs investment, and the other two girls don't like investing. And it's like I
love the way you subtly drag the girls. It's period. So good.
I like to spend money, and they're cheap.
Yeah,
I like to bring in the money. They like to take the money. That's it.
You should come to Canada. I want to see a Canada tour of that. That'd be fab.
Oh, we would love to come to Canada. Like, I heard rumors, like early rumors, like maybe a few months ago, saying that there might be a drag con or something of that nature coming to Canada. And I was like,
okay. Oh God, they would never.
Imagine. I was like, let's do it in Banff.
There's 3,000 people in Banff.
Literally. But the trade in Banff is really good. Well, during the summer, anyway, in August, I used to live for that place. Oh my God.
Oh, really? Me and Cynthia are going next in a few weeks.
Yeah, we're going to be there for their pride.
Mm-hmm. No way.
You should come.
I would love to. The country out there is so, like, Alberta is beautiful. Most places in Canada is beautiful, but those Rockies are ridiculous. I've never been one to be around nature just because I don't fuck around with it. But
that's fine. In Canada. I mean, it is the Texas of Canada, but that's fine. It's still beautiful.
Right. All the men. Yeah.
All the men, very conservative.
It's time for our flirty, fun game of rapid fire, this or that. Queen Kong, are you ready? We're gonna just throw some at you. We want to hear your thoughts. So you take it away, Juice. I don't want to fuck up. I don't want to fuck it up.
Oh yeah, I wrote this down for Beverly. So now every time we have an Aussie queen on, I do it. Do you want Nando's or cheeky Macca's or a Nando's? Oh no, it's Macca's or a cheeky Nando's, right?
Oh yeah, definitely Macca's. I'm a McDonald's
Macca's.
Yeah.
I love that. Would you rock a bodysuit or serve a look?
Depends. If I'm performing, bodysuit's easy. If I'm just rocking up to let a bitch know, definitely serving a look.
Let a bitch know. Right. All those just thumbs. Remind them.
Hey, thumbs.
Sweet or spicy?
Right. Look, I don't discriminate, so I'm all about both sweet and spicy. I like a combination of both. Like
a combination of both.
Like this game works. You have
We were raised poor. We didn't have food on the table, so like this question is like riddled with privilege. So don't.
I've been clocked.
She's like, come on, white privilege. Shut up. Right. Okay, you go white privilege, Barbie.
and then get the next one. Iced coffee or pumpkin spice latte?
I definitely know who these. This was definitely made for Beverly, for sure. I think iced coffee.
Iced coffee? No, this was done right before yours. We just quickly wrote it out. We were like, oh shit, we didn't do a rapid fire. Okay, Gaga or Beyonce?
Beyonce.
There we go.
Okay.
Did you go to her concert? Did you do the? Did she come to New Zealand?
No, she hasn't come. She's not coming to Australia or New Zealand. But I flew out to Atlanta and saw her in Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta would be good. How was the mute challenge?
sorry, other meat challenges. It was pretty good. There was the night that T.S. Madison and them were there. There were definitely some loud bitches next to me, and I definitely didn't look at them for the rest of the competition. Like the rest of the
you fucking bitches. Were they white?
No, that was the thing. I was just like, are you joking? Have you not watched every fucking TikTok? Like, have you not watched Kendall Jenner's fucking TikTok?
Oh my God, I love it. Well, thank you so, Queen, this was a laugh riot, literally. Like, my stomach hurts. That was so fun. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Is there anything that you want to plug before you go?
Oh, not really. No, it's just thank you for having me. It was so nice to talk to you too. Like, big fans of both you, and I can't wait to sort of work with you, see you in the future. I definitely want to come back to Canada. Whereabouts are you both based? Are you both based in Toronto?
I'm based out of Toronto, so I'm in Ontario, and Cynthia is based out of Vancouver.
In the West Coast. I love Vancouver. Yes, you've got to come though, because we're obsessed with you over here. I feel like we could do a whole Canadian tour of Queen, call it the trade tour.
Oh my God, imagine. I know, we'll just go to all the saunas.
Oh my God, sponsored by Steamworks. It's just like her going to Steamworks. Hello. She does a show, takes her makeup off, and then she hangs out in the dark room.
Oh my God, you know, actually, this is how it is. I was basically a male stripper, like before I even got into drag. And like one of the clubs that I used to work at in New Zealand, it was called the Legacy Bar. And like, I was like known for this act. I was like, my pedestal was like a shower. So people would watch me in the shower, which I loved, because like when these dirty motherfuckers would touch you, I'd just be like in the shower, like, oh, washing it off my body, because it was so dirty. I'm getting them to throw money at me. So Steamworks, hook it up. I would love to be in a sauna.
Was this in drag or out of drag?
Out of drag. This was like before I became a woman.
Oh, were you like pussy out or was it tucked away?
No, I went full shablam. Yeah, like
full shablam.
Yeah.
Oh, work, yeah. Bitch.
I was all about it. I love to make money off of my body. Body was currency. Yeah.
Oh now my God, I'm work. If we have any listeners that have the video footage, me and Cynthia are just waiting in the wings.
This is the thing. I love it because it's like that time. Not even that it was that long ago, but it's just like cell phones and like videos really just taken off in the past sort of like 5 years, like in the way that we use them. And so I'm so thankful that all of those years of me doing things like that aren't really documented, and if they were, they'd be on like really pixelated phones.
It's like a Nokia. Just
like... I'm like, I think that's Queen. No, that's not Queen. It's
No, it's not her. It can't be her. I love it.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Queen. I wish you the best of luck, all the SQ cuties. If you're not following Queen on all her socials, change that immediately, because it is stunning, it is entertaining, and beautiful. I can't get enough.
Oh, love yous. Thank you so much.
Love you. Goodbye, love you. Emma. Goodbye.
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 Okay, how much do you love Queen Kong? Oh, sorry. I thought you did the one.
Whip sound effect back. Okay. Queen was great. That was a great interview. I had a lot of fun. Super cool, super easy, and funnier than I thought she was going to be.
I didn't realize she like lived in different cities in Canada.
Oh, I was almost mad that I was like,
I was a little embarrassed.
How are you in these cities and I never talked to you? What?
No, I was a little embarrassed. I didn't do enough research. Here's why. She had this career in dance prior to being a public drag queen, like a public figure. So when you do your research on Queen Kong, Queen Kong didn't reside in Toronto or Banff, Alberta. It was Thomas the Dancer.
This was
so nothing was coming up. But I felt like a little idiot, like us and our cute Canadian podcast. We're like, oh, you've lived in this.
Oh, you were from Canada? Wow, cool. Like,
we know nothing about you.
Yeah, you fully see both of our faces. Just like my eyes got huge. I at one point looked at myself and I went, oh, wow, I got to calm my face down, because I was just like, what?
You were looking like me finding out she was in drag for this interview.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. No, but super. She was great. Super funny. And if you guys really enjoyed it and you want to see more interviews, please let us know by telling us on our socials. So you can go to Instagram at @semiqualifiedqueenspod.
Boom.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, period. Okay.
Period.
You can go to Twitter at SQQpod using the hashtag semi-qualified questions, or you can email us at semiqualifiedqueenspod@gmail.com. Or,
and I'm going to use reverse psychology. I do not want you to record a voice message. Don't do it. I'll be super duper mad if you do it. So do not go to www.speakpipe.com/SQQPOD. Do not go there and do not record.
I don't want to see it.
I'll be so mad at you.
But we have tons more interviews coming up for our interview series. But we definitely want to hear from you guys. Who do you want to see on? Who do you want to hear from? Who do you want us to chat with? But we're really excited for the content that we have coming up for you. We love you guys so much. And we will see you next week for another very special little interview.
Mwah. Until next time. Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
Stop!
So you went to Italy. Why don't you shut the fuck up?
No.
Oh, it's a TikTok.